Last time we started talking about the basic mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim. We said that if a person acquires a new utensil, a new vessel, a kli from an Ovik HaChavim, from a non-Jew, he has to be matbil that kli. Is this a mitzvah deraisa? Is it a mitzvah derabanan? So we said there might be a distinction. Rov Poskim seem to assume that the mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim is a mitzvah deraisa for kli matchis, metal kelim, that one acquires from a non-Jew, whether they've been used or not. We said the Mishnah actually is talking about a used kli. The Mishnah describes that you have to be machshir the kli also. You have to put the kli through a certain process to be machshir, to take out the iser, to be matir the kli. In addition to that, you also have to be matir the kli. But the Gemara explains that you have to do tefillas kelim even on new kelim as well. Most of our circumstances that we find ourselves in, we're not acquiring used kelim from the non-Jew. But the fact is, the Amorayim and the Gemara extend this even to new kelim as well. So Rov Rishonim assumed that the mitzvah tefilas kelim for metal is a mitzvah deraisa. The Rambam is a question. He said the Pri Chodesh is medayik from the Rambam that it's a mitzvah derabanan. The Rashba and Tshuva thought that even from the Rambam you can say that it's deraisa. But leaving that shita aside, most poskim assume that it's a mitzvah deraisa. But that's for matches, for zechuches, for glass kelim. We assume that that's a mitzvah derabanan. Glass is similar to mateches in the sense that if it breaks, you can fix it, you can remold it without putting it back into the kiln, without totally starting again, like you would have to when it comes to clay cheres, earthenware kelim. So it's similar to mateches, but apparently it's only an extension of the original mitzvah. The original mitzvah deraisa is by mateches, but the Rachamim extended that even to glass kelim as well. The question is, what's included in the category of mateches? What should we call metal and what is not metal? I mean, glass clearly is not metal. But are there any other items that have the properties of metal that are malleable, that you can form with a hammer? Should we consider these items halachically metal or not? We know that the periodic table, if you've taken chemistry in high school, it includes many more metals than the Torah mentions. The Torah in Parshas Matos, which is the source of the mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim, we said mentions six metals. Aches ha-zehovi ha-sakosef, ha-sanachoshes, ha-sabarzel, ha-sabedil, v'yes ha-ofores. The Torah mentions gold and silver and copper and lead and tin and iron. Those are the six metals that the Torah mentions. The question is, there are many other metals that the scientists have discovered that are not included within those six metals. Would they be included halachically in that category? Would we consider them mateches or not? Aluminum, for instance. It's a classical example of something that is on the periodic table. It certainly has the properties of metal. It conducts electricity and it's malleable, etc. So would we give aluminum the halachic status of metal, or would we say that it's different since it's not included in the actual list of six, the magic six that the Torah mentions? Maybe it should not be considered metal. This is an old machlokas that the Achronim have. Paris Yisrael in his Hakadama to say the Taris, a beautiful Hakadama. Wow. If you can get through that, you can become a Bucky Niflin and say the Taris even before you begin. So in Osmem Dalet, in his Yevakesh Das, in his Hakadama to say the Taris, he quotes from the Vilna Gaon, who thought that maybe the list is Dafka. The Gra thought that, look, the Torah mentions six metals. Why does it mention six? It should mention only two or one, or it doesn't have to mention all six. The fact that the Torah mentions all six, the Gra felt, maybe that tells us that this list is dafka. These are the only things that are called metal. L'maynaf gemina, well, what he's talking about over there is kabbalas tuma. If these are the only six items that are called metal, we know that metal is mekabel tuma. Mateches is one of the items that's mekabel tuma. So maybe dafka, these six metals can be mekabel tuma, but nothing else, even if it shares the properties of metal, would have this halacha that it would be mekabel tuma. It's mekabel tuma. It's not chotetz bifnei atuma. It won't be able to separate. If someone is in one place and there's a metal separation between him and the item that is metame, let's say there's a mace and there's metal separating from the item, from the mace and the individual, so the metal is not chotzeitz b'fnei atuma, because anything that's mekabel tuma can't be chotzeitz before tuma. It can't separate, can't serve as a chatzitza to separate the individual from the tuma. So according to the Gra, if we assume that this list is dafka, then dafka, these six metals are going to be mekabel tuma. And conversely, these six metals are not going to be chotetz b'fnei atuma, but every other item, aluminum and californium and all these other, whatever other metals, you probably know better than I do, whatever other metals there are that the scientists discovered, they would not be included in this list, so they would be chotetz b'fnei atuma, they would be mekabel tuma. The Tiferes Yisrael himself, though, disagrees. He thinks that why should we limit the list of metals to these six? if we found other things that share the properties of metal, and the particular property that he describes is something which is nirka bepatish, if you can form it with a hammer. Clearly glass would not be considered a metal. You can't form it with a hammer. But anything that you could form with a hammer, aluminum, you can form with a hammer just as easily as gold and silver. Tiferes Yisrael says he thinks anything that you can form with a hammer should have the status of mateches, and it should be mekabel tum. Okay, that's the machlokes Tiferes Yisrael and the Gra. So the Sefer Tevilas Kelim quotes Achronim on both sides of the spectrum regarding Tevilas Kelim. We know that the parasha of Tevilas Kelim, the halacha of Tevilas Kelim, is derived from this pasuk that mentions the six metals. So it is true that the Tiferes Yisrael and the Vilna Gaon are trying to extrapolate from this pasuk that if these items are called metals, so then the halacha of Kabbalah's Tumah will apply to these items. That's a Kabbalah's Tumah question. But do we compare Kabbalah's Tumah to Tevilas Kelim? We weren't so sure. We discussed yesterday. We raised the issue, and we're going to get back to it later today, Mitzvah. But whether we compare Tevilas Kelim to Kabbalah's Tumah, whether we say that Tevilas Kelim is a function of whether the Kli can be Mekabel Tumah, that's a different question. That's not really the question that we're addressing here. Here, we're simply saying that if Kabbalah's Tumah is limited to a certain list, so then since the halacha of Tfilas Kelim is derived from the parasha which has that list in it, even if we won't really connect completely the halacha of Tfilas Kelim to Kabbalah's Tumah, but the basic halacha of Tfilas Kelim, meaning the materials that the halacha of Tfilas Kelim applies to, certainly should be limited by what's mentioned in the parasha, because that's the parasha for which we derive Tfilas Kelim from. You see, it's not exactly the same. There's one question that you have to address. Should we say, look, you know, we know there's a principle of Kabbalah's Tumah, so maybe the halacha of Tfilas Kelim, Tevila, we find Tevila from Tumah, this is Tevila in a slightly different context. Is there a Tumah over here? We'll have to discuss that. Is there a Tumah Sakum that we're being Metaher the Kli from? Pashup Shad is, it's a Gzeres HaKasov, that before you use it, before the Jew uses it, he has to be Tovel the Kli. So you could say, well, maybe it's not necessarily so connected to Kabbalah's Tumah. Okay. The actual tefillah might be a little bit different. But the fact is, where am I deriving the halacha of tefillah kelim from? I'm deriving it from the parasha that mentions the six metals. So if we assume the list is dafka, then the chorif of tefillah kelim, the list should be dafka as well. But if we assume the list is lav dafka, and other metals are included in that list as well, it's just a descriptive list, so then the chorif of tefillah kelim as well, we should say that it's descriptive. So, first of all, the tefillah kelim says that from the Aruch HaShulchan, it's mashma, that the list is lav dafka. Because the Lashon of the Aruch HaShulchan in Simen Kuf Chav Sif Chav Gimel is this. He says, Lo kol ha-kelim te'unim tevila ela klei matches k'dechsev aches ha-zov yes ha-kosev ve-es ha-kosef ve-gom v'lochein kol kli me'eze min matecha shehu tzarech tevila. Aruch HaShulchan concludes, after he quotes the pasuk, he says, kol kli me'eze min matecha is any kli from any type of metal. What do you mean from any type of metal? Should say, from the metals mentioned in the pasuk, they're included in Tfilas Kelim. He doesn't say that. So from the Lashon of the Aruch HaShulchan, the Sefer Tfilas Kelim is Medayik. He quotes others who are Medayik, that the Aruch HaShulchan seems to assume that the list in the Pasuk is Lav Dafka. It's Lav Dafka Bein Lini Kabbalah's Tumah, meaning he would hold like the Tiferes Yisrael, that other metals, aluminum and the like, could be Mekabel Tumah, and he says Lav Dafka Lini Tfilas Kelim as well. Lini Tfilas Kelim, we should say that anything that's considered a metal, it shares the properties of metal, as the Tiferes Yisrael says, if it's near Kavapatish, Lachor, the halacha of Tfilas Kelim should apply. In sharp contrast, if you look at the Igros Moshe, the Moshe has two tshuvas about this issue. First of all, in Yeridei and Chelek Beis, in Kuf Samach Dalib, Moshe is talking about flying on airplanes. What does flying on airplanes have to do with Tfilas Kelim? Well, it has to do with Kabbalah's Tumah. The Moshe is talking about whether a kohen can fly on an airplane if a mace is being taken in the cargo. So he says that maybe, he entertains the possibility that maybe the list of six metals in Parshas Matos is Dafka. He doesn't quote the Tiferes Yisrael by name or the Gra, but he raises the same suffix. He says maybe the list of six metals in Parshas Matos is Dafka. So aluminum, which I think most airplanes are made out of, I'm not an engineer, but I think the airplanes are made out of rove aluminum shouldn't be Mekabel Tumah. So if it's not makabel tuma, then it should be chotzitz b'fnei atuma. So even if you have a mace in the cargo, there shouldn't be a problem because the plane itself will be chotzitz b'fnei atuma. He's not sure. He's mistapek, and there are other issues that play out in this, not just the fact that the plane is made out of aluminum. But in a different tshuva, Rav Moshe talks about tefilas kelim itself. In a tshuva in Yeridei and Chelek Gimel, I think it is Simen Chav Beis. Chelek Gimel, Simen Chav Beis. Rav Moshe actually paskins that he thinks the list is dafka. And if the list of six matchos in the Torah, six metals in the Torah is dafka, then aluminum should not be mekabel tuma. But similarly, since Tvilas Kalim is a halacha that's derived from that pasuk, then the din of Tvilas Kalim in a Torah that applies to Mateches, Rav Moshe says, should not apply to aluminum and any other metal, because the list is dafka. Aluminum is not in the Torah. So if it's not in the Torah, it shouldn't be included within the six matchos. But he says, but don't get so happy about this, because even if it's not included within Mateches, aluminum is no worse than zechuchis. Zechuchis Midrabanan is included within the mitzvah Tvilas Kalim. Why? Because it's similar to metal. So, Hayitachin, aluminum is going to be worse than glass. It's even better than glass. You can form it with a hammer. You certainly can remold it if it gets damaged. Rav Moshe says, because aluminum is very similar to metal, and certainly as similar to metal as glass, he thinks Midrabanan, at least, one should be chayav to be tovel aluminum as well. So he does claim, at least in this tshuva, in Chelek Gimel Simen Chav Beis, that maybe aluminum should not be included within the metals. Nafkamina le'inyan airplanes, le'inyan the other tshuva that he had regarding airplanes, regarding Kabbalas Tuma, regarding Chatzitza B'fnei Atuma. But he says regarding Tefilas Kalim, it's not going to solve the problem entirely. We're not going to be able to say aluminum is not chayav in tefillah at all, because it's no worse than glass. And if glass, because it has similar properties to metal, is chayav in Tefilas Kalim, l'chora, aluminum should be chayav in Tefilas Kalim as well. Okay, this is as far as aluminum. What other items are neither mateches nor glass, and what status do they have regarding tefilas kelim? So, there's no question that wooden kelim, clay eitz, or stone kelim, clay even, or clay cheres, the Gemara clearly assumes that clay cheres are not chayav in tefila. Earthenware kelim are not chayav in tefila. Why? Well, they're neither mateches nor glass. Aluminum is not in the list of metal, yeah, but it shares the properties. These items don't share the properties of aluminum and glass, so therefore they're not included in these two categories, and they would not be chayav in tefila. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Hamad Beis, entertains a suffix. It raises a question, it quotes Machlokas HaMaroim, about earthenware kelim that have a little bit of metal on them, meaning coated kelim, a plated kelim. That's what the Gemara calls kunya. This is the Gemara Daf Ayin Hamad Beis in Source 1, page 1. Kunya, pligi bar revachav ravina, chadamar kitchilos, chadamar kisofa. Machlokas amaroyim with a kunya. What's kunya? Rashi explains, tchiloso shel cheres, v'chofen oso b'chufyo shel ovar. It's earthenware, but we cover it with lead. So, machlokas amaroyim, what's the status? Is it kitchiloso? It starts out as earthenware, so maybe I should treat it as clay cheres. Or is it kisofa? Maybe I should treat it as clay matches, because they plate it, they coat it with metal. Machlokas amaroyim. The hilchas kisofa, the Gemara concludes, it's kisofa, we paskin, that we follow the plating. If the plating is metal, so then it will be chayav in tevila. What kind of coating are we talking about? Where is the coating? Is it mibachutz? Is it mibifnim? Is it inside? Is it outside? What's going on here? So if you look at the Rashi, Dibra Maschel Kunya, Rashi doesn't tell you bedafka whether it's on the inside, whether it's on the outside. He says tchilaso shel cheres v'chofen oso b'chufya shel avar. Sounds like they're coating it bein mi b'fnim bein mi b'chutz. Total, right? Arum and arum. It's completely surrounded with the avar, with the lead. That's what it would seem from Rashi. And in fact, Tosfos in Dibur Maschil v'Hilchasa, Tosfos writes v'Hilchasa kesofo haynu kelim shemachufen ba'avar mi b'fnim. Tosfos says that if it's only mechupa bachutz, if it's only coated on the outside, it wouldn't require tevila. It's interesting, because from the Lashon of Tosis, you get the impression that if it's only mechupa bifnim, if it's only coated on the inside, it would be chayav in tefillah. He doesn't say bifnim en bachutz. He says it's mechupa bifnim, but if it's only mechupa bachutz, then it'll be potter, he says. So we'll get back to that question, as to whether it's mechupa only, if it's coated only on the inside, will it be chayav in tefillah. But let's talk first about the second point of Tosis. Tosis says that if it's only mechupa mibachutz, if it's only coated on the outside, then it should be potter from tefillah. There's no chiyuv to be matpil at all, not only without a bracha, but you have to be matpil at all, no chiyuv of tefillah. Why? So he makes reference to a Gemara in Shabbos and Samach. He says, Le'inyan Kabbalas Tuma, the Gemara says, HaKol Holei Chachar HaMamid, to determine whether a kli is makabel tuma, we follow the supports of the kli. We don't just look at the basic kli, we look at what's supporting it. So if a kli would be let's say, a kli eitz, which is not makabel tuma, but it's mechushok and bebarzel, it has certain bands, certain supporting elements of metal on the outside. So regarding Kabbalas Tumah, we would say, HaKol Holei Chachar HaMamid, since the metal chashukim are supporting the kli, so we would say that kli can be makabel tumah. Because of the metal, it can be makabel tumah. Even if the nevela, the sheretz, the davar tameh touches the non-metal part of the kli, but the kli is a whole kli, so lechora it should be able to be makabel tumah. Zaktosfis, when it comes to tefillas kelim, that's not the case. Why? Because we mentioned yesterday that the Gemara says klei suda amur in beparsha. The parsha in Parshas Matos only includes klei suuda. What does klei suuda mean? We'll have to get back to that definition. But Tosfos sets forth the yisod that you have to, that the food has to touch the metal. Kevin the emish dam shebehen derech hamateches. There's no chiyuv of tefillah. The klei suuda amur in beparsha. Hainu shemish dam shebehen. When it says klei suuda, when the Gemara explains that the only kelim that are chayav in tevilah are klei suuda, that means shemishtamshim b'hem, that you use the metal part to touch the food, to prepare the food, like in the case of a pot, or to serve the food, like in the case of a metal dish, or silverware, or the like. You have to be using the metal in order for it to be chayav in tevilah. So it says Tosis, if it's only mechupa b'chutz, how can it be chayav in tevilah? So what that it supports the kli, but the reality is, you're not using the metal. The food is not touching the metal, so therefore it's going to be potter from tevilah. This is Tosis. The Mordechai, in Simet Tov Tov Nun Tes, quotes three other shitas. The Mordechai is not at all convinced that Tosis is right. Perhaps the most interesting shita is the last shita. The Mordechai quotes the Maram Rutenberg, who suggests that maybe Tosis' distinction between Shabbos and Tfilas Kalim, between Kabbalas Tumah and Tfilas Kalim, is incorrect. Maram Rutenberg says, maybe just like HaKol Olei Chachar HaMamid regarding Kabbalas Tumah, maybe the same should hold true for Tfilas Kalim as well. Why should I distinguish between the two? That's a very interesting maram, right? That's, once again, going back to the old yesod. We mentioned that the Meiri thought that maybe we should distinguish between Kabbalas Tumah and Tfilas Kelim. Tosis also seems to assume we should distinguish between Tfilas Kelim and Kabbalas Tumah. The maram is not so convinced that we should distinguish. He says maybe we should compare the two. Maybe if we go Basa Hamamid regarding Kabbalas Tumah, and regarding Tfilas Kelim, we should go Basa Hamamid as well. That's one way that you can disagree with Tosis. But the Mordechai quotes other shittas as well. There's another shittah that assumes, doesn't mention anything about following the Mamid. The Rav Yos says that maybe we should claim that Kunya is chayav in tefillah, even if it's only coated on the outside. Why? Lo chilku chachamim bedavar. Chazal didn't distinguish. Chazal said if you have metal in your kli, it's chayav in tefillah. Lo chilku chachamim bedavar. He doesn't compare Kabbalas Tumah to Tfilas Kelim. That's not the Rav Yoh's issue. The Rav Yoh seems to be saying that Lo Chilku Chacham Badavar Chazal Masakin Tfilas Kelim. They said, it's a little bit strange, Mateches, for Mateches there's a Chiyuv Min HaTorah. Maybe a coated Kli is not a Chiyuv Daraisa. Maybe a coated Kli is only Chayuv Midrabanan. So Lo Chilku Chacham Vadavar tells us that Chazal only included those kelim that have a coating, any kli that has a coating, even if the coating is only on the outside. That's the Rav Yoh's point. Rabbeinu Peretz was not so sure. He's mistopic about the whole thing. Either Rabbeinu Peretz is mistopic about whether the Maram Rutenberg is correct, whether we should follow the Mamid even regarding Kabbalah, even regarding Tfilas Kelim. Well, maybe Rabbeinu Peretz is mistopic about what the Rav Yoh is talking about. Lo chilku chacham badavar, chazal, whenever mechalik, any kind of coating is chayav in tefillas kelim. Not clear what the suffix is about. Those are the three shitas. Either we should be mechayiv a kli that only has a coating on the outside of metal, because we compare Kabbalah Stumah to Tefillas Kelim, and if we follow the Mamed regarding Kabbalah Stumah, we follow the item that's supporting the Kli, we should follow that item regarding Tefillas Kelim as well. Or we should be Mechayiv this Kli and Tefillas Kelim, not because we follow the Mamed even regarding Tefillas Kelim, but because Lochilko Chacham Badavar, or it's a Suffolk, we're not sure, so therefore we should be Tovel it without a Bracha. How do we Paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah discuss this, they quote different Shitas. Let's see. So the first Sif in Hilchos Tefillas Kelim. So the Shulchan Aruch mentions Okelim Hamatzupim Ba'Avar Mibifnim Sarech Ladbilim. If they're Mitzupa on the inside, it sounds like if they're only Mitzupa on the outside, they might not be Chayiv. The Ramah says Yesham the Kelim Hamatzupim Ba'Avar Afilu Bifnim Yitbo Below Bracha. Even if it's only Bifnim, you're still only going to be Tova without a Bracha. Okay, this is a different issue. This is not Bachutz. They're not talking about if it's only Mitzupa Bachutz. The Shach in Sivkot and Dalid, in commenting on that Ramah that talks about whether it's coated on the inside, he quotes from the Mordechai, who quotes Rabbeinu Peretz. If for some reason it came here as Reish Beis, it really should be Reish Pei. It's not Rabbeinu Baruch, it's Rabbeinu Peretz. Shach quotes Rabbeinu Peretz that even if it's coated only on the outside, you're tovel without a bracha. It's the Suffolk, the old Suffolk. I mean, we keep on saying that Sveger the Reis Lachumer will tell us that often we're going to be machmer when it comes to Tefillas Kelim, but we're not going to make the bracha. We'll only be matba, but we're not going to make the bracha. So this is regarding whether a kli is only coated on the outside. Let's now flip to the other side of the discussion. We first have to talk about the different types of coatings, then we'll talk lamaisa about the glazed china and other kinds of dishes, karel, other kinds of dishes that have a coating. So we talked about coating only on the outside. Okay, again, if it's coated on both the inside and the outside, no question, we pass in by kunya that if the coating is chayiv in tevila, the coating is metal, then the kli is going to be chayiv in tevila. How about if it's only coated on the outside? So that's a discussion, machlokas achronim, the shach seems to say, machlokas rishonim, excuse me, the shach seems to say you should be tovel without a bracha. How about if it's only coated on the inside? Why should that be any different? So the Beis Yosef quotes from a smak, a sefer mitzvahs cotton. The smak says if it's only coated on the inside, forget about it, it's not chayiv in tevila. Said because coating on the inside is only linoy, it's only decorative. It's only to beautify the kli. It's not functional. It's not necessary for the kli. If it would be necessary for the kli, if it would support the kli, it would be on the outside. You don't support the kli by having coating on the inside. It must be only linoy. It's not the smak. If it's only linoy, it's insignificant. The tzipui, the coating is insignificant. It's not chayv in tevila. Not chayv in tevila. But Tosfos seems to disagree. As we mentioned at the outside, in Dibur Maschil v'Hilchos, Tosfos says, what is kunya? Hainu kelim shemechubim ba'avar mi bifnim. Tosfos seems to say that if it's only mechub on the inside, it will be chayiv. It doesn't mention both bifnim and bachutz. So what's this machlok is the smak and Tosfos? Well, the truth is, even the smak wasn't so sure. Because if you look carefully at the lashon of the smak says you should be tova without a bracha. Now, if he was so sure that kelim that are coated on the inside with metal are not chayiv in tefila, you should say that there's no chayiv of tefila at all. He says, you're tova without a bracha. So what kind of business you're tova without a bracha? Apparently the smak was mistabik. He wasn't 100% sure. So what's the issue? So I saw a beautiful explanation in the Sefer Chelkas Binyamin, in many beautiful svarim on Hilchos Tefillas Kelim. I mentioned yesterday that Herav Tzvi Cohen published a Sefer called Tefillas Kelim on Hilchos Tefillas Kelim. This was published many years ago. It's come out in many printings. This was originally published Shnas Tovshin Mem, he says. Tovshin Mem. 30 years ago. Sefer Chelkas Binyamin was not published 30 years ago. Chelkas Binyamin was written by Rav Feivel Cohen's son. Rav Feivel Cohen is known for the Bari HaShulchan on Hilchas Nida and Hilchas Basa B'cholov and Tarovis, Avelos, different svarim. His son came out with the Sefer Chelkas Binyamin on all Macholei Akum, like Pas Akum and Bishul Akum and Tefillas Kelim, etc. Beautiful, beautiful Sefer. It's like a Mishnah Berurah on Hilchos Tefillas Kelim. He has a Pnim, the main body of the text. He has Biurim. He has Tziunim on the bottom for all of the Makoros. Beautiful, beautiful Sefer. So the Chelkas Binyamin in Simen Kuf Chaf, of course, in Sivkot and Yud Zayin, He suggests that maybe the suffix of the smak is based on the fact that there are different purposes for coating a kli on the inside. Yes, the smak is right, that you could coat the kli on the inside only for decorative purposes, but maybe the coating on the inside is for the purpose of the kli. Maybe the reason why you coat it with metal on the inside is so that the kli will not absorb from the food. If you have an earthenware kli, you take a kli cheres that's not coated, it's going to be discolored. When you use it, it'll be discolored by all the oils and the fats and everything that's going to get into the kli. So maybe the purpose of the coating is not linoi, it's not for decorative purposes, but rather it's for the functionality of the kli, so that it won't absorb. Or he suggests maybe it's to strengthen the kli. It's not a support for the kli in the same way. It would be much more supportive of the kli if it would be on the outside. But maybe it's also to strengthen the kli. Maybe the kli will disintegrate over time. It won't be as strong. So that's why they coat it on the inside, to strengthen the kli. That perhaps is the suffix of the smak. Should this kli require tefillah? Should it not require tefillah? So that's why he says you should be tovah without a bracha. Tosus apparently assumes for one of those two reasons it's mamish chayav b'tefillah, even with a bracha. Tosus doesn't say that you're tovah without a bracha. So this is the machlokas, the machaber and the ramah that I just mentioned a moment ago. The machaber paskins that you should be tovah with a bracha. He paskins like the Bali Tosfos. But the Ramah is machmer for the smak. He quotes this yesh omrim, the smak, that maybe we're not so sure that it's chayav and tefillah, so therefore you should be tovel only without a bracha. This is the discussion that the Rishonim and the Poskim have regarding tzipui b'mateches, a kli that's coated with metal. Before we talk about shaina, we have to extend this discussion a little bit further. You see, most of our kelim b'zman hazeh are not going to be covered with metal. Do you know of any kelim that have a coating of metal? No, it's not that common. Our coatings are normally a coating of glass or some other kind of Teflon, enamel, some other kind of coating. So the question is, how do we relate to this issue of kunya, this halacha of kunya, coated kelim? How do we relate to that question? What's the connection between mitzuba b'mateches and mitzuba b'zchuchis? Let's say it's only coated with glass. Is that any different than being coated with metal? So at first glance, if you were to ask me, I'd say, what's the difference? Coated with glass, coated with metal. Once you tell me that glass is chayav in tefillah, even if it's midrabanan will treat a coating of glass the same as a coating of metal. Why should there be any difference? And taka, that's what the shach says. The shach on the side of the shulchan aruch there, beginning of siman kuklav in sivkot and bay, says mitzupa bezchuchis dinam ki mitzupim ba'avar. If it's covered with glass, what should be the difference? That's the Pashup Shah. Pashup Shah seems to be that if it's covered with glass, you should have the same halacha. Glass is chayav in tefillas kelim. So if a metal coating is chayav in tefillas kelim, a glass coating should also be chayav in tefillas kelim. Why not? Not so fast. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Shailas Yaivitz that maybe glass is different. Because why is glass chayav in tefillas kelim? Why? It's similar to metal because even if it breaks, you can fix it, you can remold it. Now, is that true if the glass is only a coating on earthenware? If an earthenware kli with a glass coating breaks, are you going to be able to remold that? I don't think so, because the kli is not going to get back together. The kli is not mostly glass, the kli is mostly earthenware. It's cheres. So you can't really mold that kli appropriately. You can only mold glass again, without putting it back into the kiln, without remaking it completely. But if the glass is only a tzipui, if it's only a coating on top of the cheres, perhaps it can't be remolded. And if it can't be remolded, if it were to break, so then the whole mechayev of glass and tefillah doesn't apply to a kli that's only coated with glass. That's what the Shailas Yaivitz suggests, to distinguish between a coating of glass and a coating of metal. The Sefer Darkei Tshuva quotes other achronim who have another distinction. He quotes from the Pre-Toar, who says, look, even metal coating is a machlokas amaraim in the Gemara. It's not poshut in the Gemara that a kli that's coated with metal is absolutely chayiv. So if even a metal coating is a suffix in the Gemara, it's a machlokas in the Gemara, and we know that zechuchas in general is chayiv on a lower level than metal, so maybe Sveika der Rabbanan Lekula, even though the Gemara Paskins Hilchasa Kesofa, the Gemara Taka Paskins like one of the Amorai, but it is a Machlokas. So if it is a Machlokas and Zechuchas is only Midr Rabbanan to begin with, so maybe there's room to be Megal by a glass coating. And I saw the Sefer Tefilas Kelim quotes others who go even further and say, look, the whole idea of a coating, is that the same chiyuv as a regular kli? Maybe a coated kli is only as a chiyuv midrabbana to begin with. It's like a trade rabbana. A kli that's coated with mateches, maybe that chiyuv bichlal is only midrabbana. Glass in general is only chayiv midrabbana in tefillah to begin with. So here you have a glass coating. So it's only a coating to begin with, and it's only glass. And it could be that a glass coating is not the same as a glass kli, because if it breaks, you can't really fix it. So for these many reasons, a lot of the achron, a lot of the poskim suggest that maybe a kli that's mitzupa with glass should not be chayiv in tefillah. They're not so sure that it should be exactly the same as mateches. So even if it's coated arum and arum, completely on all sides, for which we assume that a coating of metal certainly would be chayiv in tevila, maybe by glass we shouldn't be mechayiv. So maybe you should only be tovel it without a bracha. So we started by talking about a coating of metal. Then we moved on to a coating of glass. We saw it's not so clear. The poskim are not so sure that the shach is right, that a coating of glass should be mechayiv in tevila. But how about if it's not even such a thick coating? Let's say it's only a thin coating. Let's say it's only a glaze. It's not plated with glass. Not coated with glass. It's only a glaze. Rabbi Kiva Eger, in his Chidushim, there on the Ramah, on the Shach, Simchat Dalid, he quotes from the Prima Gadim that if it's only glycerate, what's glycerate? I have no idea. But they explained to me, the Sfarim say glycerate was a kind of glaze, a glass glaze they would put on the kelim. The Kiva Eger says that if it's only glycerate, if it's covered with a glass glaze, then you shouldn't make the bracha. Even according to the Shach, who would say that on a glass coating you should be tovel with a bracha, but on a glaze, that you certainly should be tovel without a bracha. So wow, we've really whittled it down, right? When it comes to coatings of mateches, could very well be that you're chayiv in tefillah. Now the question is if it's only coated on the inside or only coated on the outside, but basically a coating of matecha should be mechayev in tefillah. A coating of glass, not at all clear. Rabbi Kiva Eger goes even further. If it's glycerate, then everyone should admit that you shouldn't make a brach on it. He still wants to suggest maybe you should be matbilit. So the question is, how does this all relate to our glazed china? I mean, that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about lemaisa, right? Lemaisa, what's the story with our glazed china? So this is what the poskim call, I believe this is what they call clay porcelain. The Chelkas Ben Yamin used the Lashon and clay porcelain, the Sefer Tefilas Kelim. Porcelain dishes. Glazed china. It's made out of earthenware, made out of porcelain, but yeah, it's glaze, it has some kind of glaze on top. So what's the status of this, of these kinds of kelim? So the Aruch HaShulchan is very troubled with the fact that people are being tovel these kelim and they're making a brach on these kelim. The Aruch HaShulchan says, where's this Aruch HaShulchan? Do I have it? I put it in the Maram HaKomos? Maybe not. There's just so much here. There's a limit to what you can put in. The Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Chof Tes, look it up after Shir. He says that, I don't understand why people are being tovel with a bracha, these kalim, this glazed china. It's not even the glycerate that the poskim are talking about. Glycerate is a significant kind of a glaze. It's not a great coating, but it still is a glaze. But what's our glaze? What are they doing? They're just putting some kind of a sheen on it. They're spraying something on the china. It's not really a glaze at all. It's not what they call glycerate. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Reb Moshe says exactly the same thing. He holds that glazed china does not require tefillah. Because what are they putting on it? They're not putting on it even a glass coating. It's just a spray. I think that's what they tell me. They spray some kind of thing on the china and then they put it into the oven. A spray is called glass. Glass is mamushus. It's sand. It's some kind of mamushus. But our glazed china, Reb Moshe and the Aruch HaShulchan both seem to assume that you wouldn't be tovel them at all. Not only would you not make a bracha, they're not chayiv in tefillah at all, because that's not even the glycerate that the poskim are talking about. So even if you want to go so far as to say that coated kalim that are coated with glass might be chayiv in tefillah. The glazed china. Glazed china is not even coated with glass. That's so insignificant that definitely it should not be chayiv in tefillah. Rabbi Willig wanted to suggest that Karel and Corningware should have the same halacha. Rabbi Moshe himself was not sure about Karel. Rabbi Moshe in one place, they quote him as saying that he wasn't sure. Maybe it should be like Zechuchis, maybe it's not. He was Chozebo, it's not so clear. Rabbi Willig thought, what's the difference? It's exactly the same as glazed china. The china is really cheres, but it has a little kind of a sheen on the outside. That's what Karel is all about. So Karel and Kuning were also the types of glazed china. L'chora, they shouldn't be chayav in tefillah either. And even if the china has a little bit of a band of metal on it, or the Karel has a band of metal, that band of metal is not significant. That's only linoy, it's only decorative. It's only decorative. And certainly it's not part of the ikar akli. In most circumstances, it's not gonna touch the food. So l'chora, that's not going to change anything. If you assume that glazed china, Karel, and Kuning don't require tefillah, so even if they have a little band of metal, they would not require tefillah either. Okay, that's regarding glass kalim and glazed china. Glazed with glass or glazed china. How about plastic? What's the din of plastic kalim? That's the next item that we have to talk about. We talked about metal, we talked about glass, we talked about wood, stone, cheres, coated earthenware, plastic. What's the din of plastic? The Sefer Darkei Tshuva quotes from some Achronim that since you can fix it by melting it again, maybe it should have a din of zechuchis, it should have a din of glass, and it should be chayav and tefillah with a bracha. That's what some poskim hold. Darkei Tshuva quotes from some poskim. But others disagree. Others claim the Chacham didn't include plastic in the gzeira of zechuchis, in the mitzvah derabanan of being tovel zechuchis. Plastic didn't exist in that time. We shouldn't be mechanish any new gzeiros. If Chazal didn't have the gzeira, we shouldn't be mechanish this new gzeira either. And this, the Sefer Tefillas Kelim quotes, Rove poskim hold like this. The Chazon Ish, Reb Moshe Feinstein, Reb Henkin, most poskim held that and continue to hold that plastic does not require any kind of tefillah whatsoever. Aye, but you'll ask me, but Chazal didn't have aluminum either. So if you're willing to say aluminum is included within metal, so why shouldn't plastic be included within zechuchis? No, that's very different. Because if you assume aluminum is included within materchas, meaning when the Torah says the six metals, it means anything that shares the properties of metal, so then aluminum is mamish in the posuk. It's mamish there. But if you tell me that Chazal instituted a separate gzeira, it's not part of the din d'oraisa, right? If you assume that Chazal instituted a separate gzeira, so then one can very easily suggest that since plastic was not there at the time of the gzeiras Chazal, then it shouldn't be included in the gzeira of zechuchas. It shouldn't be included in the gzeira of glass. So it could be aluminum and plastic are very different. Even if we will say that aluminum is included in the pasuk, that's because we assume that's what the pasuk meant. But if you tell me the only way to be mechayev plastic and tefillah is to say that it's included within the gzeira of zechuchas, so it could very well be that Chazal limited it to only those things that existed at the time of at the time when they made that gzeira, so plastic would not be included. I believe the minig in the Breuer's community is to be tovel plastic with a bracha. You heard me. I think most poskim assume that plastic should not be toveled whatsoever. Not only without a bracha, but they shouldn't be toveled at bechla. And I think that's what many individuals do. Yes?
Does it matter if it's temporary or permanent?
We're going to get to that. If it's a disposable kli, right? It could very well be that even if you're machmet to be tovel plastic, but you won't have to be tovel plastic cups, the flimsy plastic cups, the disposable plastic cups might not have to be tovel. Maybe a plastic mug you'll have to be tovel or something like that, but a plastic bowl, but not the plastic cups. So most people would assume, most people can assume that you don't even have to be tovel a plastic mug or any other plastic kli because it's not included within the gzeira of zechuchis. Okay. Let's talk about kalim that are coated. I'm spending a lot of time talking about coated kalim. Let's talk about the other kind of coating. A coating that's potter. Till now we've talked about kunya, which is an example of a kli that itself should be potter from tevila, but it has a coating that's mechayev in tevila. How about if you have a kli that it itself is made out of metal? No question about it. It's made out of metal, but it's coated with something that's potter from tevila. L'mashal, a Teflon frying pan. Teflon is a plastic type substance from what they explain, right? From what's been described to me. So Teflon is a type of plastic. So if you have a Teflon frying pan that's coated on the inside with Teflon, or if you have a Teflon, some other kind of coating. Let's say you have a baby spoon that's coated with plastic. Very, very common that the baby spoon is going to be coated with plastic. It's softer on the baby. So would that kli be chayav in tefillah? So till now we've assumed that that a coating is very significant. If you have a coating of metal, certainly if the coating is going on all sides, like in the case of the plastic baby spoon, the coating is going on all sides, we assume the coating is very significant. In the case of Teflon, you wouldn't say that the Teflon coating is only for decorative purposes, it's for the usage of the kli. So maybe we should assume that the coating is significant, bein l'kula bein l'chomer. If we'll say the coating is significant if the coating is metal, so maybe we should say the coating is significant if the coating is plastic as well. So if the frying pan is coated with plastic, if it's coated with Teflon, coated with enamel, the pot is coated with enamel, or the baby spoon is coated with plastic, maybe we should say that it's potter from tefillah because we follow the tzipui, we follow the coating. On the other hand, the Sefer Tefillah Skelem quotes some poskim who say that maybe that's not the case. Maybe if the tzipui, if the coating is only like Teflon, it's very, very thin, it's not as thick as the coatings that the Gemara is talking about, so maybe once again, we should say that that kind of coating is not significant. We should follow the Ikar HaKli. If the Ikar HaKli is metal, it should be chayav in tefillah. Moreover, if the coating is designed to serve the Kli, if the coating is designed to serve the Kli to prevent it from rusting, or to prevent the food from sticking to the Kli, as in the case of Teflon, so maybe we should say it's bottle to the Kli. It's bottle to the Kli, because the Kli is the Ikar. The Teflon is serving the Kli, so I'm going to pot to the Kli. I'll exempt it from tefillah, because I only look at the coating. It's ridiculous, some of the poskim say. It's bottled to the kli, because it's there to serve the kli, to prevent the kli from, to prevent any items from getting stuck onto the kli. So l'chara, we should say that the kli is the davar chashuv, the kli is the ikar. So the Sefer Tefillah Kelim quotes poskim on both sides of the spectrum. Some want to suggest that maybe a Teflon-coated frying pan is chayv and tefillah, even with a bracha, because we totally discount the coating. And others suggest maybe it should be tovah without a bracha. It's machlokas in the poskim. It's not so clear. It's not so clear how to pass. It's best probably to be tovel a different kli with it. If you tovel another metal kli, you make a bracha on the other metal kli, you'll pata this kli as well. But it's machlokas in the poskim whether a Teflon coated kli or the baby spoon that's coated with plastic, should that require tevila with a bracha or tevila without a bracha? Certainly requires tevila, because mios tov, we certainly would be machmir to assume that it should require some kind of a tefillah. Question is, do we totally discount the tzipoy, or do we say, no, it's at least a suffix, so therefore it should be makal, but you shouldn't make a bracha. That's a pshalim post. Okay. Now for the final discussion, final issue that we'll talk about today, let's discuss disposable kelim. Disposable kelim, avi's shayla. What's the din of disposable kelim? Aluminum pans, let's say. So we mentioned aluminum pans are definitely chayav in tefillah. Reb Moshe says even if they're not chayav min haTorah, they're not like mateches, they certainly should be chayav min derabbanan, because they're no worse than zechuchis, meaning they're even better than zechuchis. They're mamish like metal. They basically have all the qualities of metal, so mistama, that certainly was included in the gzera of Chazal. A metal that has the qualities of metal is certainly no worse than zechuchis. You want to tell me that plastic is worse than zechuchis, it's less than zechuchis? A different kind of substance, but metal certainly should be chayav in tefillah. And some would say aluminum is chayav min haTorah in tefillah. Pharisee Yisrael would certainly assume that it's chayav min haTorah. So the question is, let's say you have an aluminum pan. It's chayav in tefillah, midrabbanan min haTorah, but it's disposable. So does that change everything? Or should we assume that even so, it should be chayav in tefillah? So the Sefer Tefillah Kelim quotes a long dissertation about this, a major machlokas in the poskim. He's extremely useful for these kinds of issues. He collects from all over the place. His bekiyas in Tefillah Kelim is mind-boggling. Mamish mind-boggling. I shudder to think of how much time he must have put into this limut. It's mamish unbelievable, the work that he put into it. So he quotes from the Sefer Chelkas Yaakov, a tshuva sefer. Rav Yaakov Breisch, who was a big gadol in Switzerland, in the early part of the 20th century, in the middle part of the 20th century. The Chelkas Yaakov assumes that disposable kelim are not chayiv in tefillas kelim. Why? Because they don't have a kli, they don't have a shame kli regarding Kabbalah Stumah. That's the Chelkas Yaakov's chiddush. That they don't have a shame kli regarding Kabbalah Stumah. They won't be Mekabel Tumah. How so? How does he know that? He knows it from the Rambam. He quotes the Rambam in Hilchas Kelim, Perek Hei Halacha Zayin. The Rambam says, in Hilchas Kelim, the Rambam is listing, just like the Mishnayos Kelim at the beginning of Taras, list all types of Kelim, Kelim that are Mekabel Tumah, Kelim that are not Mekabel Tumah, the Rambam also. So the Rambam in Perek Hei Halacha Zayin says, V'chein HaKeren Shu Mishtamish Ba U'mashlicha Eino Mekabel HaStumah. The Rambam writes that a keren, a horn of some sort, that you use it once, you drink from it or something, you use it once, and then you throw it out. The Rambam says, not makabel tumah, disposable. Says, Zokta Chelkas Yaakov, it's not makabel tumah. If it doesn't have a shame kli regarding Kabbalah's tumah, it shouldn't have a shame kli regarding Tevilas Kalim either. So if it's disposable, it's not chayv and tevila. It doesn't have a shame kli. Not only will you not have to be tovel it with a bracha, you don't have to be tovel it at all. That's what the Chelkas Yaakov. So the Chalkas Yaakov is bringing back the comparison, the equation that we keep on discussing. We had a Meiri and a Marami Rutenberg, right? The Rishonim are talking left and right in different places. Is there this comparison between Kabbalah's Tumah and Tfilas Kelim? Do we say that Tfilas Kelim is limited to a Kli that's Mekabel Tumah? Do we say no? It applies even to a Kli that's not Mekabel Tumah. So at first glance, it seems like the Chalkas Yaakov is invoking the same machlokas, same issue. So the truth is, it's not exactly the same. What the Chalkas Yaakov is saying is even more agreed upon. Meaning, even if you'll take the position of Tosfos when it comes to Dover Hamamid, the Tosfos writes that we don't follow, we're not Holech Achar Hamamid when it comes to Tfilas Kelim. But regarding this issue, maybe even Tosfos would admit that something which doesn't even have a shame kli regarding Kabbalah's Tumah, not that it won't be Mekabel Tumah, if it doesn't have a shame kli regarding Kabbalah's Tumah, so maybe that doesn't have a shame kli regarding Tevilas Kelim either. Maybe that this is a different halacha. The question there that Tosis is discussing, Maram and Tosis are debating, whether we follow the ma'amid of a kli. Do we follow the support of a kli? If the support is metal, do we follow the support of the kli regarding Kabbalah's Tumah, regarding Tevilas Kelim? So regarding Kabbalah's Tumah, we do. The question is, does that extrapolate to Tevilas Kelim as well? But here we're saying that if this kli is disposable, it doesn't matter what it's made out of. It doesn't matter whether it's made out of metal. Do we follow a mamid? We don't care about the composition of the kli. It could be that this kind of a kli, bichlal, is not subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. So if it's out of the realm of Kabbalah's Tumah in general, maybe it doesn't come into Tevilas Kelim either. This is something which the Yad Ephraim, the Hagos Yad Ephraim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, refers to. The Yad Ephraim on Sif Hei in the Ramah. He quotes from the Tshuva Shev Yaakov. Seems like he's quoting from the Shvus Yaakov, but it's really the Shev Yaakov. That's what the Pesachei Tshuva quotes. We're going to get back to the Shev Yaakov. This is a world famous Shev Yaakov on Tevilas Kelim. The Shev Yaakov is talking about a somewhat interesting case. They used to have some kind of a heater and a Taner Beis HaChoref, and they would heat the room with this Taner Beis HaChoref, but it got very dry. So in order to make it a little bit more moist, a little bit more humid, they had some kind of a kli that they would put water in by the heater, and it would sort of boil up the water. It would create moisture in the air, a humidifier, so to speak, to keep it humid and to keep it moist, so that people would not be uncomfortable, they would not be affected adversely by the dry heat. So the question that the Shev Yaakov is addressing is, do you have to be tovel that kli if you want to use it a little bit? You want to use it a little bit for your coffee. You have boiling water there, you want to use it for your coffee. I'm not talking about the sanitary nature of that water. That's up to you. But if you want to use it for the coffee, can you do that? So a lot of the discussion of the Shev Yaakov focuses on whether we follow Rov Tashmish HaKli, which we'll have to get back to. Do we follow most of the usage, or do we follow even a minority of the usage of the kli? That's a different issue. We're not going to get to that now. But the Shev Yaakov also discusses, maybe there should be no chi of tvila on such a kli. Why? Because you're mechaber it to the tanner. You attach it to the heater. And a kli that's attached to the heater, the heater, the tanner b'sacharev, apparently the case that he was talking about was that it was mechubal akarka. It was attached to the ground. And if it's attached to the ground, mechubal karka is dino kakarka, it's not mekabel tumah. So the Shev Yaakov suggests, maybe if I take a kli and I attach it to the Tanah Yisachar, now it's mechubal karka. It's mechubal karka, it's dino kakarka, it's not mekabel tumah. It shouldn't be chayv in Tfilas Kelim either. So once again, the Shev Yaakov is comparing the Chiyuv of Tfilas Kelim to Kabbalah's Tumah. And he says that Lekula, you can be Megal completely, that a Kli that's not Mekabal Tumah, it doesn't have a Shem Kli, if it's Mechub LeKarka is a principle that such a Kli is never Mekabal Tumah, it would not be Chiyuv of Tfilas Kelim either. So it seems as though, even though in Shulchan Aruch, we are Choshesh Peshitas Tosfos, that we don't follow the Ma'amid, we don't follow a Ma'amid when it comes to Tfilas Kelim, so we'll be tovah without a bracha. So we are Choshesh Peshitas Tosfos, that we don't quite equate Tfilas Kelim to Kabbalah's Tumah, but here the Shev Yaakov says, let's go the full 9 yards. Let's say that if there's no Kabbalah's Tumah, if it's Mechub LeKarka, there's no Kabbalah's Tumah, there's no Tfilas Kelim whatsoever, not even Bitovel without a bracha. So apparently there's a distinction between the two. Dover Hamamid is a special halacha. You're saying, well, I have a Kli over here. I want to know what's the Iga part of the Kli, what's not the Iga part of the Kli. But here we're talking about a principle that if the Kli is Mechub LeKarka, it's not called a Shem Kli at all. So apparently what the Shev Yaakov is telling us is that any Kli, any vessel that doesn't have a Shem Kli, halachically it's not defined as a Kli regarding Kabbalah's Tumah, it won't be regarded as having a Shem Kli regarding Tfilas Kelim either. And that apparently is what the Chelkas Yaakov is saying. The Chelkas Yaakov suggests that disposable Kelim are like Mechub LeKarka. Since they're not called Kelim regarding Kabbalah's Tumah, they shouldn't be called Kelim regarding Tfilas Kelim, and as a result they shouldn't be Chayav in Tfilas Kelim at all. This is the Yisod of the Chalkas Yaakov. The Tfilas Kelim goes on, he quotes Dayan Weiss in his Shuvas Minchas Yitzchak, goes even further. Dayan Weiss suggests that, forget about Kabbalah's Tumah, this item, if it's disposable, it won't have a Shem Kli for any halacha, not only for Kabbalah's Tumah, for Netilas Yadayim, for Kiddush, gotta make Kiddush in a kos, it doesn't have the status of a Kli Bechlal, says Dayan Weiss. So if it doesn't have the status of a Kli Bechlal, it won't have the status of a Kli for Tfilas Kelim either. So according to Dayan Weiss, you don't even need the Chelkas Yaakov's comparison between Kabbalah's Tumah and Tfilas Kelim. Even if we're not going to compare the two, forget about it. We don't have to compare it at all. But maybe if it's a disposable Kli, it doesn't have a din of a Kli at all for Netilas Yadayim, for Kiddush, and for Tfilas Kelim as well. I don't need the comparison between Kabbalah's Tumah to Tfilas Kelim in order to say that it shouldn't have a status of a Shem Kli. So you don't have a status of a Kli regarding Tfilas Kelim, yes.
So you can't make Kiddush with a disposable cup?
It's a big machlokas in the post. The Tfilas Kelim, the Derech Agav, quotes that whole machlokas with a disposable cup. The old cups that they used to put out at a Kiddush when I was younger, they used to put out these paper cups. You probably don't even see this anymore. You used to have these paper cups, not the really flimsy paper cups that you get, that the Dixie, you know, you have, like, pull down the paper cup that, like, you can barely use it for the first time. Because it starts to, like, disintegrate as you use it. You know, you sometimes get this in the dentist's office or the doctor's office. No, right?
Yeah.
Right? So they used to put out at the Kiddush, not these very flimsy paper cups, but a little bit stronger. But it was still pretty flimsy. It was flimsy enough that the grape juice, the cups got discolored from the grape juice. We're talking about really... That's what they used to put out in my time. So I used to avoid making Kiddush with such a cup, because it's a big machlokas in the post, not at all clear that you can make Kiddush with such a cup. Plastic cups are better, probably. The problem is they didn't want to put out the plastic cups. You can't get such a small plastic cup. They got to put out 8 ounces of grape juice for every person's making Kiddush and go broke. You know, so they didn't want to put out such a cup. They wanted to put out a smaller cup. I think most posts can assume that nowadays, since they have those hardened plastic, not the soft plastic that we all use, you know, the typical disposable plastic, but the hardened plastic, I think most posts can assume that's much better. Because that's more chashev. People will use that more than once. I mean, sometimes people will use even the plastic more than once, but I think the hardened plastic, people say, is certainly better to make Kiddush. I've seen people, they make Kiddush on a plastic cup, but they'll put two plastic cups together. They feel that that's somehow more chashev, that's stronger. I'm not really sure I fully understand that. If one plastic cup is not chashev enough, so why is two times zero is zero? So I'm not really sure how that accomplishes anything. But I think the hard plastic, I think some of the poskim are more makel for. But it all comes back to this issue. Do you assume that this plastic, if it's disposable, it doesn't have a shem kli b'chlal? Or you say, no, it has a shem kli, but in Kabbalah's Tumah doesn't have a shem kli. What's clear from the discussion of Dayan Weiss and the Chelkas Yaakov, they're all assuming that you're only going to use this disposable aluminum pan once. You're only going to use it once. The question is, if it requires tefillah even for once, What happens if you want to use the kli more than once? You want to use this disposable aluminum pan more than once. If you only want to use it once, the Dayan Weiss and the Chagas Yaakov are willing to say that you shouldn't have to be tovel the kli. Let's say you want to use it for more than once. So from the Minchas Chinuch, you get the impression that you should have to be tovel the kli if you want to use it for more than once. Reb Moshe has a tshuva where he goes even one step further. Reb Moshe has a tshuva in Chela Gimel, Simen Chav Gimel, where he says that he thinks disposable kalim don't require tefillah, even if you want to use them two or three times. This is very lemaisa. People get aluminum pans. They're very cheap. They're 20 cents, 25 cents. It depends on the size, of course. But you can use it again. It is disposable. You don't intend on using this forever, but you have to throw it out after the first time. The Moshe says you don't have to throw it out after the first time. Even if you want to leave it for two or three times, that's also okay. What two or three times? Where did he get this two or three times? He got it from the Rambam. A different Rambam in Hilchos Kelim. The Rambam in Hilchos Kelim in Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, discussing the basic din of a kli kibul. So the Rambam says this: Ha'osek kelim min alefes v'ha'esrog v'hadalas ha'yaveshim. Someone who makes a kli out of some kind of dried vegetable, lefes, a gourd, esrog, we know what that is. The las, also a gourd, some kind of vegetable, a dried up vegetable. Shechakakon lamud b'hen, that you dug it out, hollowed it out, thank you. You hollowed it out in order to measure with it. V'chol ki yotze b'hen zok d'ramam harehen tahorin d'nat makabal tumah l'fi she'iev sheshiyamdu el ezman mu'at. The Rambam says that these things are not going to be makabal tumah because it's impossible for this kli to last an extended period of time. It's e'ef shalamod el ezman mu'at. It can't last a long time. The Rambam doesn't say it can't last more than once. It says it can't last a long time. Anything that can't last a long time, so if the Rambam is not ashamed clearly in a Kabbalah's Tumah. But Moshe says the same should hold true for Tfilas Kalim. My disposable aluminum pan can't last forever. It's not going to last forever. Why is it not going to last forever? Because it gets punctured and it gets very dirty. And once it gets very dirty, it's very difficult to clean, and it's a hassle. So it's not expected that you're going to use it for a very long period of time, even if we forget the dirt issue. It's going to get punctured, it's going to get bent, it's not going to be possible to use it again. So it's not going to be possible to use it again. L'chora, it should be called disposable even if you can use it more than once. And even if you want to use it more than once, it should still be called disposable. That's a big chiddush. Most other poskim assume, no, if you want to use it more than once, then you'll have to be tovel it. I'm sorry? Reb Moshe is a pretty popular shita. A lot of poskim are makel for this. The truth is that Tfilas Kalim adds even more. He adds other svaras. This is in the Sefer Tfilas Kalim, if you want to look it up. Perek Aleph Ha'ori Yud. Do I have it in the packet? Yes. Yes, siri. We have it in the packet. Sefer Tfilas Kalim. Perek Aleph Halacha Yud. Where is this? Page 6. It's page 5 and page 6. So on page 6 he quotes Rabbi Bluth. Has two other svaras. He says maybe even if you want to use it more than once, it's no problem. But if you use it more than once, then that's not called disposable. He says, well, the company doesn't manufacture the aluminum pan to be used more than once. So maybe when you decide to use it more than once, that's like Gomro B'Yad Yisrael. That's like you, the Jew, finished the kli. It's like you created the kli. If you buy a kli from a Jew, there's no chiyuv Tfilas Kalim. It's only buying a kli from a non-Jew. So maybe if you use the aluminum pan more than once, since the company didn't make it to be used, more than once, maybe that's like Gomro B'Yad Yisrael. So that should be part of Tfilas Kalim anyway. Moreover, he says, I don't think Rabbi Blue said this. I saw elsewhere that others suggest, do you really expect to use this kli for an extended period of time? No. Do you expect to use the kli for two or three times? You don't even know. It depends if it's going to get dirty, if it's going to get ruined, will it get bent? Right? If your kid takes out the kugel from the oven and somehow he manhandles the pan and it's not going to be able to be used again, so then you're not going to use it again. Do you have a kavana when you use the pan that you're going to use it la'olam vo'ed, or that you're going to use it for an extended period of time? No. You basically look at each time and you say, is the pan clean? Okay, I'll use it for the next time. I'll use it another time. And then you reevaluate after each usage whether it's still usable. That's not called a kli that's non-disposable. That's a disposable kli. You can't even talk about that kli as being disposable after two or three times. You're not even looking at it as saying, I'm going to use it for two or three times, and then I'm going to throw it out. You basically reevaluate after each usage whether it's still usable. That, by definition, is called disposable, because you're really only using it one time. Each time you're using it one time. If it's usable again, you'll use it again. But that's not a non-disposable kli that is usable for two or three times. It's really only usable for the next time. You'll reevaluate later whether it's still usable. So that passed by definition, we should say that's called disposable. So this is a big machlokas poskim. Can we assume that you can use the aluminum pans even for more than once, or should we say that you can use it only once? With Moshe, Rabbi Bluth, and others want to suggest that you could use it even more than once, and Diane Weiss and the Chelkas Yaakov, they seem to assume that you should not use it more than once. Because once you decide to use it more than once, that demonstrates that it has a shame kli. If it has a shame kli, so then it should require tefilas kelim. I did hear Rabbi Schachter apparently said that since the aluminum pans can be used more than once, we know they can be used more than once, and some people like to use them more than once, so by definition he says they're not called disposable at all, according to no one. Rabbi Schachter would say that even Diane Weiss and the Chelkas Yaakov would say now that aluminum pans are not like the Karen that the Rambam is talking about. Now, that's mamash chumer. I imagine Rabbi Schechter's wife must be tovel all of the aluminum pans that she buys in the store. She probably buys five aluminum pans in the store and takes them to the mikveh and is tovel them. Then she has to wash them out, because who would want to cook in the pan if it gets the mikveh? The mikveh water is very clean, but it's not that clean. It's not so clean. So that's a lot of washing. But I guess that's what she would do. If Rabbi Schechter says that once the aluminum pans can be used more than once, so then by definition they're not called disposable. Just the fact that you can use them more than once, they're not called disposable. Rabbi Moshe wanted to say that even if you can use them more than once, if it's not Roy Lamod Yom and Rabim, that's still called disposable. Rabbi Schechter's on the other side of the extreme. You can use it more than once, it's not called disposable at all. So that's a big chumr. According to that, you'd have to be tovel all of your aluminum pans. So I think I've heard some poskim say the best thing is buy your aluminum pan and use it once. If you use it once, so then you don't have a problem. I think some people rely on Rav Moshe that you could use it more than once as well, as long as it's not Roy Lama Yom Rabim. It's not so sturdy. It's not like a glass bottle or something that you could use more than once. So even if you use it more than once, it still might be called disposable. It still should be called disposable, because it's not really sturdy enough to last a long time, and you don't intend to keep it for such a long time. So those are the different sheetahs of the post.